Good morning, prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, remove me. Remove me from the sermon. Remove me from our minds. Remove me from our daily lives. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us a heart for you. Give us a heart for the people in our lives. Lord God, raise up a generation in this church with vision. Open our hearts to people outside the church. Open up the gospel. Lord, help us to reach those people. We know you love Jesus. Amen. Turn to the book of Jonah. As you turn there, I'll kind of give you a background. Jonah is a prophet. His first appearance would be in 2 Kings. He was recognized for being a great prophet at that time before the story of Jonah begins. The book of Jonah is the story of God's success, not Jonah's. God used Jonah to save Nineveh, one of the greatest evangelism stories ever. And he was reluctant. I often think about what the story of Jonah would have been as a success story for Jonah. If Jonah had, the prophet, had gone and done exactly what God had said for him to do with the right attitude. But instead, it is a story of a reluctant servant of God still doing the will of God. God gives Jonah a great testimony, success story, but he didn't want to save those people. We all have those people in our lives. Start reading. Chapter 1, verse 1. Word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Can you give me that map, Rodney? This ought to give you the idea of where his head's at. Okay, Nineveh, he only had to go 550 miles. Tarshish, he had to go 2,500 miles. He's going out of his way to do the opposite of what God called him to do. That far. All right, if you're taking notes, here's one for you. We can't run from God. Where can we go? Running from the all-power, omnipresent creator of the universe. Good luck for you. It's not going to happen. Getting on a boat and leaving is ridiculous. Jonah knows this. This was not new to the Hebrew. We sometimes forget how powerful God is, and no matter how basic the principle or characteristic of God. I mean, think of how many times we have to be reminded over and over again about how crazy he is and lovely. So whatever God is dealing with you is, maybe it's time to stop and talk to God and or a friend. Going down to verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and it fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What shall we do to make the sea calm down for us?" His answer was, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder. They cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you please." They took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Now, this doesn't mean that all those sailors had become followers of Yahweh or the Lord. This just means they made vows and because in that culture, you had a lot of people that were just, they believed in many gods instead of just a one true God. We're not saying that the Bible's not saying that these people all became what we would call Christians or Hebrews at the time. Your second note, God loves and wants to be close with those people. Those people are lots of people. Who are the those people in your life? Are they Methodists, rich people, poor people, people from other countries, people other races, people on the other side of the political party, people inside of jail cells? I mean, you get those people. We all have those people. We're human beings. We have to look past those people's standards. Christ didn't die for me and you. He died for those people as well. And we're those people to some of those people. So remember those people. Nineveh was a bad place. Believed in sacrificing the people, the children. They were extremely cruel to the Hebrews. The idea of Jonah going into the Nineveh would be like the idea of one of us going in to save ISIS. Anybody willing to do that? It's a hard call. A lot of times we're very judgmental on the Hebrew about what they're done or they said. Well, that's easy. It's not always easy. We don't like silence. Silence is uncomfortable for us. God speaks to us in silence. Nineveh was filled with Assyrians at war with the Hebrew and is very different from them. His attitude toward them was understandable at the time. God's attitude is crazy love for his creations and what it should be. His creations all bear image of him. Whenever I come to the least thing I can say good about somebody, and I say, well, they're an image bearer of God, and I'm at the bottom of the barrel there, but I have to respect at least that. So always remember, no matter what you're doing, you can at least respect that part. God values all lives, and so should we. God did not want to destroy them, but he refused to let it continue. He refused to let these people live without him. He refused to let them keep continue sinning. He refused to let them continue killing people for no reason. While Jonah was in the water, which would be a death sentence to just about, I'd say 99.9% of anybody, being tossed out at sea is probably the worst way to die, if not, you know, top 10 at least. Jonah was swallowed by either great fish or great whale. After 3 days, spitting inside the fish, he spit out in Joppa. Let's go to the chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah at a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and the nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn from his anger, so that he will not perish. You're taking notes. God's will and love shine through. God will accomplish what he wants to do. He can use me, or he can use another person. We refuse. We are not going to put him in a bind. God's still going to get what he needs to get done. He has a plan, and he lets us be part of it sometimes. That is an honor for us to be a part of his story. God did not create anything so that it would be destroyed with no purpose. Each person has a purpose, and he loves it. Each animal, each plant. Going down to verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Note number 4. Our attitude is important. The book of Jonah is not a success story of what God did through Jonah. It's a success story of God through a reluctant Jonah. Jonah was mad at God. God used Jonah to save all of those people and animals. Yet Jonah did not see it that way. God's ways are not our ways. If my ways, he'd have never looked at me twice. Going to chapter 4. Jonah's anger at the Lord's compassion. But to Jonah, this seemed very long, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Throwing a little pity party. Anybody ever done that? But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about this plant. Isn't it amazing how we can be happy about something little when we're just at that point? Something little, tree, breeze, shade, child, friend. Let's read what happens when something happens to that. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant, did that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head. He grew faint. He wanted to die, and said it would be better for him to die than to live. Jonah's not out anything here. I mean nothing. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about that plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry, I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not be concerned for a great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" Why is it we get so caught up in things we don't have anything invested in? Jonah might have lost a little pocket change or whatever going to Nineveh. And sometimes we get these attitudes that some people don't deserve. Who does deserve God? None of us deserve God. That's why we have grace. I know a lot of people, we all work with people who are not saved. We all talk to people who are not saved. We see them on a day-to-day basis. We pray for them. And sometimes we think, well, they don't want God. Gospel and translation is the good news. It's really the good news. And we need to share it. If you really believe this is good news, then share it with your friends. You don't always have to beat them over the head with a Bible or run after them, hand them a tract. Sometimes when you live your life, you're saying the best message ever. When they see how you can handle pain or you can handle this or you just have hope, it says a lot. And it'll open up doors for you. So in conclusion, God gave Jonah the opportunity to help him. And one of the biggest, if not the biggest, evangelisms of all times. He was so angry with God, he did not see how wonderful that he knew that God was forgiven, yet he still wanted to see the destruction of Nineveh. Can't say that I blame him. How many of us applauded when Osama bin Laden died? I did at first, and then I realized somebody went to hell. That's a hard fact. It's sad. We're going to do an altar call, and we're going to sing a song. You need to have prayer or need somebody to pray with you or feel like coming to the altar and spending a minute with God, come on down.